Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the fulfillment of every vision as we pick up in Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 19. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Say to the people of the land, thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and of the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with carefulness. There's going to be a tremendous famine. They'll drink their water with astonishment, that her land may be desolate from all that is therein because of the violence of all of them that dwell therein. And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? This is what they were going around saying, you know, not in our time. The days are prolonged, every vision fails. You know, you've heard that for a long time. What do you mean, you know, the Lord is coming? What do you mean? We're getting close to the end. The days are prolonged. We're going to be here for another 1,000 years. Life is going to go on. Man is going to continue. What do you mean we're getting close to the end? That's what they were saying in Jerusalem at this time. Destruction was right on them. It was days away, and yet the proverb was, the days are prolonged, every vision fails. It's not going to happen in our lifetime. As Peter said, in the last days, scoffers will come, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since our fathers have fallen asleep, everything continues as they were from the beginning. But Peter said, the day of the Lord will come. And God is saying to Ezekiel, this proverb that they're using, tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease. They'll no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the fulfillment of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, and I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass, and it shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, not in the days of your grandchildren or great-grandchildren or whatever, but in your days will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say the vision that he sees is a long time off, for many days to come. Not going to happen for a long time. And he prophesies of the times that are way off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. And within a year it was. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy and say unto them that the prophecy is out of their own hearts. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. They're following their own imaginations. They have really seen nothing from God. They are proclaiming their own visions, their own ideas. O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither have ye made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have not helped Israel. They have not stood in these gaps. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. So here were these false prophets going around. They had not really heard from the Lord, but they were saying, well, the Lord says, oh, the Holy Spirit told me, or the Holy Spirit showed me, or God has shown to me. And then they go around seeking for others to confirm their words. Now, the tragedy of the church is that there are false teachers and false prophets in the church today doing the same thing, speaking in the name of the Lord when God hasn't spoken, saying, oh, the Lord says, or the Holy Spirit showed me, when they are talking out of their own spirits and their own hearts. Jesus warns about these men. He said, They are wolves in sheep's clothing. Beware of these false prophets. Paul warned over and over again against these false prophets that were going around deceiving the people, speaking in the name of the Lord. Peter warns against them in a very heavy indictment, as does the little book of Jude. These men who speak in the name of the Lord have been the curse of the church from the beginning, but they've always existed. Clear back into this Old Testament period, there were those false prophets, and God spoke out against them in Jeremiah. God spoke out against them through Isaiah, and God is now speaking out against them here in Ezekiel. They've not really helped the people. They've hurt the people. Have you not seen a vain vision? You've spoken a lying divination, whereas you say, the Lord saith it, albeit God says, I haven't spoken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and you've seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. That's heavy. God just doesn't like you speaking in his name your own ideas, your own thoughts. Well, the Lord showed me. I had a fellow one day that was one of those the Lord told me kind, you know. And the Lord told him to go out, you know, in the desert, and he went out there, and the Lord told him this, the Lord told him that, the Lord told him this, and you know, and he lost all his money, and he lost all this, and he, you know, he got sunburned and dehydrated and everything else. And why would God do that to me? Why would God, you know, and it's obvious that the guy was nuts, you know, that God didn't speak to him. If God had told him to do all these things, then it wouldn't have, you know, messed up. It wouldn't have been ended in a calamity. And then he wants to blame God for all of the, you know, the misery that he went through. Well, the Lord told me this. I said, well, if the Lord told you to do all those things, then why are you asking me what the Lord, why the Lord would do something? Ask him if he tells you all that stuff. The Lord didn't tell you to come to me because I don't have any sympathy for you. But I get tired of, you know, how can you argue when a person says, well, the Lord told me to do it? Well, then what can you say? You say, well, man, you're nuts. The Lord didn't tell you that. But, you know, you don't want to say that to a person. But they don't leave you anywhere to go. We need to be careful about that. Thus saith the Lord, or the Lord said, or, you know, the Lord told me. We've got to be careful about it. I think that we use that much too loosely. God doesn't like that, speaking in his name when he hasn't spoken. And God said, I'm against you, you that say the Lord saith when I haven't spoken. And my hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and divine lies, and they shall not be in the assembly of my people. Oh, boy. That is heavy duty. When God's people are assembled together in that heavenly scene, these guys aren't going to be there. Neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, and there was no peace. And one built the wall, and lo, others came along and daubed it with untempered mortar. So they build a wall, and other guys come along, and they daub it with untempered mortar, and thus it has no strength. It's going to fall in the day of battle. But notice what they're saying, and Jeremiah was rebuking them. They're saying, well, God said through Jeremiah, you know, scarcely have you healed the hurt of my daughter Israel, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Oh, but they were making positive confessions, weren't they? Well, you don't want to say war and desolation. That's terrible. You know, that'll happen to you if you say that. Make a positive confession. Oh, but God says that positive confession is a lie. It's not going to do you any good to go around saying peace, peace, when there is no peace, saith the Lord. And God really rebuked them for those positive confessions because God had not promised peace. And it was hurting the people. They were denying the truth. They were trying to escape the truth and denying the truth. They were actually lying when they were saying, peace, peace, and there is no peace. So they're building a wall that's not going to stand because these one guy will say it and another guy will come along and confirm it. Oh, yes, thus saith the Lord. Lord, show me the same thing, brother. Oh, hallelujah. Untempered mortar. Say unto them that are daubing it with that untempered mortar that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall tear it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? Where are those prophecies that you gave us? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even tear it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in my anger, and great hailstones, fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. That phrase over and over and over and over again, 62 times in this book. And ye shall know when I bring my judgments, when I bring my word, when my word comes to pass. And that, of course, is the purpose of prophecy. Is when the prophecy comes to pass that ye shall know that he is the Lord. That it is God who has spoken. And that God can speak of things before they happen. And 62 times God spoke and spoke of when it was fulfilled, ye will know that I am the Lord. And thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it with the untempered mortar. And I will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither are they who daubed it. To wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Likewise, thou son of man, talking to Ezekiel, set your face against these daughters of your people, which are prophesying out of their own heart, and prophesy against them. Now, there were these gals there in Jerusalem also who took the title of a prophetess, and they were prophesying out of their own hearts. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the women that are sewing pillows to all the armholes and making kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people, and will ye save the souls alive that come unto you? Now, it sounds like that they are in some kind of witchcraft, a cultish kind of practice in the sewing of these pillows onto the armholes and putting these little bonnets on every size of head, every stature. So for every size head, they were making little bonnets that they could wear. Will you pollute me among my people for hands full of barley? In other words, they were divining for anything. You know, give me a handful of barley and give me a wheat and I'll tell you your fortune. You know, cross my palm with the dollar, dearie, and I'll tell you what's going to come, you know. And so God is speaking out against them who pollute me among the people for a handful of barley or a piece of bread to slay the souls that should die and to save the souls of life that alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies. Now, they were slaying the souls by telling them, hey, things are going to be all right. You know, you've got a bright future. There's going to be a handsome man, you know, that's going to come into your life and you're going to be, you know, live happily ever after. And these people were not listening to the word of God and the warnings of God because of the comfort that they were receiving. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against your pillows, wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly. And I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that hunt and make them fly. It seems like they were probably into setting up curses, you know, against people, going into these little incantations, putting pins in the dolls and this kind of thing in trying to create a fear in the minds of the people, though they put a hex on me. Your kerchiefs also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad. And of course, the righteous people, when they see this kind of junk, it hurts. You think, oh God, you know, how long are you going to let them go? Whom I have not made sad, and you've strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. You're comforting those that are dying in their wickedness. And because of the comfort you're giving, they're not repenting. They're not turning away from it. That's much like many of those ministers today who stand in the pulpits and say, there's no hell. You don't have to worry. You know, every day and in every way, the world is getting better and better and better. We're on the verge of the glorious millennium, you know. The glorious age is about to be ushered in. And people are attracted. And it's interesting to me that in this religious science and spiritism and so forth, that most of the practitioners are women. You ever notice that? In this theosophy, religious science, and all of these, you know, metaphysical type of things, most of them teaching and all are women. And so the Lord really has a word against them here. Therefore, ye shall see no more vanity nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me, and they sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and they put a stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. And should I be inquired at all by them? Why should I talk to them? Why should I deal with them? These guys that are sitting here in front of you, they've got idols that they have set up in their hearts. Idolatry begins in the heart. There's where you first turn against God. There's where you really turn to God. Believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of the heart proceeds the evil speakings, the murders, the adulteries, the fornications, the lies, the heart. And here were these men coming to inquire of God, to hear the word of the Lord from the prophet. And God says to Ezekiel, hey, these guys that are sitting here, Ezekiel, why should I speak to them? Why should I be inquired of by them? Because they all have their little idols all set up in their hearts. Now, usually they would set up an idol on an altar, on a table, or someplace in their home. That's bad enough. But it's even worse to set up an idol in your heart. Because then you begin to deceive yourself. You say, well, I'm not guilty of idolatry. I don't have any idols. I don't have any little shrines in my home. But you've got it right here in your heart. That's worse. Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that sets up his idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that comes according to the multitude of his idols. that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. I'll answer them. They've all become a stranger to me because of their idols, idolatry, worshiping an idol, a principle, an ideal, a philosophy, having a master passion governing your life other than God. Always estranges a person from God. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent. Turn, change. Don't just be sorry. Repent. Have a change of action. And turn yourselves from your idols. And turn away your faces from all of your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourns in Israel, which separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his hearts and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off out of the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. God says I'm going to be fierce in my judgment of that person. I'll cut him off.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ezekiel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Ezekiel 12 through 14 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the Lord be with you and keep you in His loving grace, watching over you, guiding you, protecting you. May you be enriched in Christ Jesus in all things. And may your understanding of God's love be increased day by day, as you begin to fathom the depths, experience the heights of God's love and grace and mercies towards you through Jesus, our Lord.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
It's with great honor that The Word for Today would like to present Pastor Chuck Smith's book entitled Prayer, Our Glorious Privilege. With great clarity, Pastor Chuck masterfully taught the principles of praying to God, our Father, and emphasized the power that belongs to each one of us when we rely on the Holy Spirit to guide and nurture our prayer lives. I want to encourage you to pick up a copy of Pastor Chuck's book, Prayer, Our Glorious Privilege, and study it to put these biblical principles into practice. Read this book and come to the most amazing realization that prayer is the most potent weapon in your spiritual arsenal, and use it with great promise and hope. For when you begin a life of prayer, you begin a great adventure. To order a copy of this book in print or to download a digital copy, please visit thewordfortoday.org or call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673.